Today's text is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 41 and 44. In today's text, we will look at the events that took place during the last week of Jesus' public ministry. This includes his entry into Jerusalem, his crucifixion, and death. Throughout his ministry, Jesus only preached about the gospel of the cross, and this text is no exception. Today's text takes place in the temple where Jesus was teaching before he left. It is important to note that the incident in the text happened while Jesus was still in the temple. Understanding this key detail can help us better comprehend the events that occurred. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus went into the temple and drove out the merchants. He cleansed the temple and rebuked the Jews for turning it into a den of robbers. Above all, this was the sin of the leaders in charge of the temple at the time, including the high priests, scribes, and elders. They claimed to worship God, but their actions showed hypocrisy. They used God as an idol for their own worldly glory. Despite saying they worship God, they did not recognize him, but rather despised, persecuted, and ultimately crucified him. Today's text shows an example of a true saint who worships God in the temple, a poor, nameless widow. In this widow, we don't see the image of a merchant who turned God's house into a den of robbers. Instead, we see the image of heavenly people who serve and worship God by sacrificing all they have in God's house. Through this poor widow, we see the image of Jesus, the eternal high priest who serves and worships God with all he has, and the heavenly priests who have been born again in the image of Jesus. The life of this poor widow resembles that of Jesus. Let's take a closer look at verses 41 and 42. And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which makes a penny. In the temple where Jesus was present, people were giving offerings. The rich put in a lot of money, while a poor widow only put in two leptons, or one quadrant. Lepton was a Greek coin at that time, and quadrin was a Roman coin. Both were the smallest units of currency at the time, and two leptons were equal to one quadrin. It is not known exactly how much this is worth in today's currency, but in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, Jesus said, "Aren't two sparrows sold for an asarian? One asarian is equal to four quadrants, or eight leptons." So we can see that the two leptons, or one quadrant, was a very small amount of money that could barely buy one meal and was difficult to even buy a sparrow. However, this small amount of money was all that the widow had. In today's text, the offering of the rich is being compared to the poor widow's offering. While the rich people gave a lot of offerings, the poor widow gave a very small offering of two coins. Jesus was observing all of this, but his perspective was different from that of the world. He wasn't simply interested in how much they gave. He was watching the hearts of those who gave. We know this because in verses 43 and 44, Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." These verses clearly say that while several wealthy people offer more money, in Jesus' view, whose offering was worth more? Whose offering and whose worship did he accept with pleasure? Was it the rich person's or the poor widow's? When the widow came to the temple to worship God, she made the smallest offering of two coins. Nevertheless, Jesus said that her offering was worth more than all the other people's offerings, including the rich people. What's the reason for this? According to verse 44, wealthy individuals make large offerings out of their abundance, while this widow gave everything she had, which was all of her living expenses, despite her poverty. When it comes to our offering and worship, what are our standards? Who is more important to us in the church? Though rich people who offer a lot of money may seem more important to us, they are not more important to God. You might assume that a church can be established well if there are many wealthy people, but in the kingdom of God, this is not the case. God's standards and the worldly standards are different, and we must adopt God's standards, because God looks at the heart, not the outward appearance. 1 Samuel chapter 7 says this, "For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." As we can see in this passage, we see that Jesus doesn't judge people based on their appearance or how much money they give. Instead, he looks at their hearts. This poor widow offered a small amount, but it was a lot to her, and she gave it with a joyful heart. Jesus valued her offering greatly because it came from a place of faith and love. The kingdom of God is built by people who have faith like hers, not by rich people who give a lot of money. Jesus is the one who builds his church, and he does it through people who have the heart of Jesus, who joyfully offer themselves to worship God, and who have faith in him. We must have faith when we give to God, because he does not accept offerings given without faith. This poor widow is an example of someone who gave with faith. It's important to remember that the story of poor widow's offering takes place just before Jesus' crucifixion. Her offering is significant because it foreshadows Jesus' own sacrifice on the cross as a perfect offering to God. This woman's act of worship serves as an example for us to follow in our own offerings and worship. Through Jesus' sacrifice, we as believers are called to offer our own lives. Therefore, we should reflect on the poor widow's offering as a way to evaluate our own offerings and worship. It is important to know that Jesus does not judge whether a person is rich or poor based on their outward appearance, but rather on the condition of their heart. In the epistles of the New Testament, we see that the church at the time often judged people by their appearance, discriminating against the poor and exalting the rich. This even extended to their offerings, with the rich being respected and recognized, while the poor, such as widows and orphans, were looked down upon or even despised. However, the book of James tells us that God has chosen the poor, making them rich in faith and heirs to the kingdom of God. Despite this, the people in the church continue to discriminate against and look down on the poor who are testifying to the kingdom of God. James chapter 2 verses 2 through 6. "For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay close attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit down at my feet,' have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man." In the church, is there still a tendency to judge people based on their appearance and worldly standards? Do we exalt the rich who give a lot and look down on the poor who give little? However, God, who receives our offerings and worship, does not see it that way. As Jesus tells us in today's text, God looks at the center of our hearts. What kind of heart does He see? Does He simply look at how much we give or how devoted we are? That's not it. What God sees is a heart that resembles Jesus. We must understand this truth. A heart that does know Jesus or have a relationship with God will not please Him, even if that person sacrifices everything they have. This is why Hebrews chapter 11, 6 says that anything done without faith in Jesus cannot please God. Faith is not seen in the large offering of the rich, but in the offering of widows. In other words, Jesus sees the heart of the widow. This is why He joyfully accepts her offering. Let us learn from this and strive to have hearts that resemble Jesus, rather than focusing on external appearances or worldly standards. Our offering should reflect our gratitude towards God. It doesn't matter whether we are rich or poor, or whether we give a lot or a little. What matters is that we acknowledge the love and grace given by Jesus Christ, and our offering and worship should be a joyful testimony of our love and gratitude for God. God gave us His most precious Son, and He gave us His life. We should be thankful for the love and grace we have received, and give our lives generously to God and our brothers. We should give everything from our hearts, even if it is expressed with only a small amount. Giving is not limited to money. It also includes our heart, mind, will, actions, prayers, service, edification, time, and all aspects of our lives for God and His pleasing will. We worship God by willingly surrendering ourselves to His will. This way we testify of Jesus. This is the offering that God is pleased with. Another thing Jesus points out in verse 44 is that the rich people offered only a small portion of their abundance, while a poor widow gave all she had, her entire livelihood. This shows that giving everything of a small amount is more significant than giving only a small portion of a large amount. Although in the world, $100,000 would be considered a large offering than $100, Jesus highlighted the importance of giving with a heart of generosity, giving all of ourselves to God, instead of just giving what is left over. Jesus Himself is the perfect example of this heart of generosity. He gave Himself entirely to God and us, not just what was left after taking care of His own needs. He came to this earth with a servant's heart and even went to the cross with the same heart of generosity. The cross of Jesus is proof of His selfless heart, which is the kind of offering and worship that pleases God. Jesus gave us everything. He gave us His life, His heart, His will, and even His flesh and blood. God did not hesitate to give up His only Son, who was more precious to Him than anything else, for us. This was an act of love where Jesus offered Himself completely for us. We are also called to offer ourselves completely to God. We are thankful for the love and grace that Jesus has given us, and we worship Him by offering ourselves with a heart that gives everything we have, although what we give may be insufficient and small. Without such a heart, we will still be the masters of our own lives, considering everything as ours, and offering to God only what's left after spending on ourselves. The Israelites in the Old Testament offered and worshiped God with such an evil heart. They offered what was left of things they had enjoyed and used up as their offerings, such as the dirty food they could not eat and the sick animals they considered unclean and threw away. They expected God to show them grace because of their offering. However, this was an act of contempt that angered God. God rejected their offerings. He He considered their worship disgusting, and even said that he would rather have closed the temple doors to prevent them from entering. The last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, talks about this. Malachi chapter 1 verses 6 through 10. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor? Says the Lord of hosts. And now entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to us. With such a gift from your hand, will he show favor to any of you? Says the Lord of hosts. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. The Old Testament concludes with a message of judgment as offerings and worship to God degenerated into sin when Israel was destroyed. Through Israel's sins, God reveals our own sins. Like Israelites, we too are sinners who prioritize our own desires over dedicating our lives to God. We spend and enjoy everything for ourselves first, and then give whatever is left to God out of stinginess, expecting blessings in return. This attitude proves where our hearts truly lie. We seek worldly glory and pleasure for ourselves, and only offer our lives to God reluctantly and unwillingly whenever we have any spare time, money, or energy. Sadly, this is what our offering and worship often look like. God declares that we are no different from the Israelites and that our sinful nature is the same as theirs. We too were hopeless sinners who deserved God's judgment. This is why Jesus had to come. He came to save us from our sinful and corrupted life of offering and worship. If we could have pleased God through our offerings and worship, Jesus would not have come. God the Son became a man like us and lived a perfect life of offering and worship on our behalf, saving us from sin and judgment. He gave himself completely on the cross as a perfect offering to God. If we repent and believe in Jesus, God accepts us as though we have given ourselves completely to God. He makes us resemble Jesus and will make us perfect in his life. Our worship is a life of giving ourselves to God as an offering. Romans chapter 12 says that offering our bodies, our entire lives, as a living sacrifice pleasing to God is our spiritual worship. We also know another passage that tells us the principles of our offering. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Apostle Paul teaches us that the principles of our offering should be the life of Jesus. Jesus' death on the cross was the ultimate sacrifice to save us, and it should be the guiding principle of our offerings. We must offer our gifts with faith in the gospel of the cross, for without it, God will not accept whatever we offer. However, because Jesus gave his life for us, God is pleased to accept our offerings in Christ. When we offer ourselves to God with joy and gratitude, even the smallest of gifts, like the two coins of a poor widow, are received with pleasure. This is because God sees our hearts and knows our intentions. Through our offerings, The kingdom of God is established, and the church, families, and believers are built up by faith in Christ, not just by large offerings. Think about the history of the church. Was it built by wealthy people, such as the Jewish leaders during Jesus' time, or by believers who gave offerings despite being poor, like the widow who loved Jesus? It is my hope that we can all live like the widow who followed Jesus, rich in faith, even though poor in this world. Let us dedicate our lives to God joyfully as heavenly people who are rich in Christ. In chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, we learn that the church in Jerusalem was facing a severe famine. To help them, Apostle Paul sent Titus and other brothers to collect offerings from various churches, including the Philippian and Thessalonian churches in Macedonia. Despite being poor themselves, the churches were grateful for the grace of Jesus and gave offerings generously, willingly, and cheerfully beyond their means. Even though their offering may have seemed small, Apostle Paul says that they made a generous offering in the eyes of God. They didn't give what was left over. Instead, they gave everything they had with joy, out of love for God and their brothers, revealing the glory of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians, verse 8 and 9, Apostle Paul continues to explain this grace and encourages the Corinthian church. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, then by will of God to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 and 8. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. The meaning of the phrase beyond their ability means that they did not give to God and their brothers what was left after using up everything for themselves, but they, though poor, sacrificed their food and clothing as they had decided in their hearts. Jesus and Apostle Paul saw the faith and sincerity of their hearts. However, the Corinthian church, on the other hand, was relatively wealthy but chose to offer their offerings in a stingy, forced, and reluctant manner, giving what was left over from their abundance. This does not reflect the glory of Jesus and the gospel. And so Apostle Paul reminded them of the importance of the grace of Jesus and encouraged them to give offerings that would please God. Even though the wealthy church may have given more in terms of quantity, they lacked faith and understanding of the gospel. By teaching them the importance of giving with faith and a pure heart, Paul helped guide both churches toward a deeper understanding of Jesus and the gospel. Dear saints, our giving and worship cannot be separated from each other. A person who gives cheerfully is also a cheerful worshiper. Those who give joyfully are the same people who worship joyfully. We should not think that offerings only refer to money. It includes all aspects of our lives. Like Jesus, we should embrace the love of the cross and give offerings by faith with all our hearts to God and our brothers, no matter how small or insignificant it may seem. Whether it is our hearts, thoughts, time, or money, if we spend it all on ourselves, enjoy it all for ourselves, or dedicate it all to other things for ourselves, and then give God and our brothers what is sick, lame, or dirty, it will not please God. God always treats us with a joyful heart. Although our giving and worship may be insufficient, weak, and less than ideal, God desires that we do it with the heart of Jesus. In heaven, we will live with a heart that fully resembles Jesus, so we should strive to live a life of giving and worship that resembles Him. We should ask for God's grace to help us achieve this. Everything we have comes from God, and our lives belong to Him. Therefore, we should willingly dedicate ourselves to God in gratitude for the love and grace that He has given us. We should not serve or give hoping that people know about it or that God should repay us well. Nor should we give for fear of being ignored or not being compensated. Instead, we should give joyfully and generously, even if no one recognizes our efforts. Let us be reminded of the story of Ananias and Sapphira from Acts 5. They gave their offering with impure hearts, seeking recognition and praise. As a result, Peter said that their hearts were full of Satan. Let us not make the same mistake, but rather give with pure hearts, seeking only to honor and glorify God. We have already received everything from God. He has given us all that He can give us, including eternal and perfect love, blessings, and heavenly riches in abundance. More importantly, He has given us His one and only Son. It is now our duty to live with gratitude and a generous heart. Our lives are nothing when compared to the life of Jesus, who gave Himself for us without sparing. Therefore, we should also live with a giving heart, not sparing anything. In today's text, the widow is called a poor widow, but in fact, this widow is not poor, but rich in faith. We are children of God who are rich in faith, rich in Jesus, rich in the inheritance of heaven. So as rich heavenly people, as God's children who lack nothing, we should joyfully offer all that we have on this earth as an act of worship, just as the widow did. Even though the widow only offered 2 coins, it was a big offering in the eyes of God. As believers who have received Jesus Christ our Lord and His eternal kingdom, we should joyfully give all in faith, regardless of the amount we have to offer. The kingdom of God is a place where saints gather and live to worship and serve God. Heaven is a place where believers live as witnesses of Jesus Christ. Our church is also a place where believers gather and live to testify heaven on earth and witness Jesus Christ by faith. Therefore, I pray that we all worship God and serve our brothers and sisters with joy beyond our ability, and willingly glorifying our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father.